Good evening, everyone, and welcome to First is Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change your life. And we're so glad that you're joining us here this evening for another edition of our Daily Bread. And we just thank you and are glad that we have this chance to share with you what the Lord has been showing us. And just take this time to be with the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that tonight, for each person hearing, that their heart and their mind or their ears will be opened up to what you have for them, Father, because we know that you have good things for each and every person, something good so that their life will be changed, Father. We thank you for it. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you give us the words to say so that it'll be uplifting to you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today is Tuesday, April the 18th, 2023, and we are going to continue with our daily bread. What we've been talking about recently is holding fast, and what the Lord's been showing us for this edition is similar to that. He's given us some new scriptures and just some new ways of looking at it. Amen?
So good. You know, first of all, good evening. Hello, everybody. We're so excited. I feel like Daryl and I already had our Bible study before the daily bread. we kind of get excited and then we realize, oh, wow, we need to go ahead and do the daily bread. It's so exciting to get to share what God has been showing us. And, you know, each of us, I'm sure you as well, when you're feeding on the word and, you know, each of us are in different stages and we're all running a race, right? And we're contending for our faith. We're walking by faith. We're holding fast to our faith. And we're all doing, hopefully, going to the word to learn and to feed our spirit, man, because that's, you know, that's where our faith gets fed, the word of God. And so when we have this opportunity, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Jesse and Pastor Rose for giving us the opportunity. But it's so exciting for us when we see the things that God has for us. And I know you would not be here tonight if you weren't one of these people wanting to press in. And so thank you for joining us. And I know that God is aware of your busy life and your busy schedule. And you've taken the time out to pause and to press in to see what God has for you tonight. So thank you for that. And we're so mindful of that ourselves that we want to be accurate and portray everything from the Word of God with a spirit of excellence.
Yes.
Not our opinions, but what does the Word say about it? And we, yes, along with that, the Word, we want to share testimonies or our personal, you know, what God has shown us, because we know that so many of you have gone through similar things as well. But when we're talking about walking by faith, it's, you know, not just some little catchy partial scripture. We walk by faith and not by sight, which is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. Walking by faith is not for the faint of heart.
No, no.
There's a lot under that umbrella, walking by faith. And we've been talking and kind of parked here on this topic of holding fast. Well, along with that, we're going to share a scripture out of Jude in just a minute that talks about contending for your faith. Similar, I'm still holding fast, but it's got a little bit of a different viewpoint on it. So let's just open up. Let's start and dive right in there. Jude is a very short book. There's only one chapter. So we're going to start in verse 3.
Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. You know, and when I read that, the word contend, about the only time you hear that word in you know, real life is the contender. You know, in this corner is the contender to take on the champion. Well, what is that talking about? It's a fight.
It's a battle.
It's a battle.
And who do we battle? It's the enemy.
It's the enemy.
He wants to steal our faith. He doesn't really care what we know. He just cares when we start putting our knowledge of God's word into action. When we start doing, because he knows he is no match for God. But if he can come, and he has no power over us except the power we give him and allow in our life. And we do that by our words or thought, or entertaining thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So when he comes, that's who we're contending. We are contending for our faith against an enemy that wants us to drop our faith.
Yeah, and if you read verse 4 right after that, it says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. And so what it goes on to talk about is that they're changing the faith. They're coming in and bringing in new ideas that are not lining up with what
right.
the original word of faith that they had. So reading right there, for certain men have crept in.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be aware of in this world.
Yes.
What you hear, what you listen to. I'm talking about even preachers. Are they changing the message just a little bit where it's not in line with what it should have been? Just, you know, politicians, whoever that we're seeing on the TV or whatever, creeping in, just trying to add little twist of the wrong idea of what it should be. That lines up with the truth.
That's so good, Daryl. And it's really for our times right now that we're living in, you know, we need to pray for Holy Spirit, who is our guide inside, the knower, our comforter. We need to pray for discernment now more than ever, because, you know, discernment is not, I've heard this before and I just latched onto it. Discernment is not discerning right from wrong. Discernment is determining right from almost right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's happening today. You have people, you have churches. Churches mm-hmm. are splitting.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wait a second, you're a church. Whole denominations mm-hmm. are shaking and quaking and splitting right now because certain men have crept in.
Crept in.
And they're kind of twisting the word, or it's maybe nine parts truth and one part lie. Well, guess what? That spoils it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word only. It is only the word of God. And we get off when we start inserting our own opinions or thoughts, or, well, here's what I think this means. No, let's just go by what the word says. Mm-hmm. Brother Hagin said this all throughout. If you read one of Brother Hagin's books, he was a strong man of faith, and he is just, I love how simple when he explains the walk of faith and how to grow your faith. It's very simple, no nonsense. And he talks about this, you know, the discerning and the measure of faith and hearing and knowing exactly how to just go to the word. People would question him and say, well, I don't think my Bible, I read what you're saying, but I don't think it says what you think it says. And he would tell them, I'm not interpreting anything. Just read it. And it's the word. It's not an interpretation, but we have to be very careful because that's what's happening now. Like I said, even whole churches are splitting because they are inserting an opinion or the times of the culture. Well, let me tell you, God never changes.
No, he never changes.
His word never changes.
And that's something that I believe is important enough that we should include it every day in our prayer. When we have our prayer time, Lord, give me the ability to discern in your work, both in your word, but both in my interactions with other people and what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, to be able to discern what is the truth.
That's good. Amen? That's good. And it's very important. So that none of that was in our notes, guys.
Uh-oh.
So we've gone off script. No, but that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. And it's so important because this right here, what we're doing is we're hopefully all learning together how to walk by faith and not by sight, how to be strong Christians, how to take our measure of faith, which all of us as Christians have been given a measure of faith. But now what do we do with it? Well, we are to nurture it. We are to feed it. We are to grow it. Because in the Bible, many times throughout the Gospels, you will hear Jesus talk about small faith, a measure of faith, mm-hmm. strong faith, great faith, little faith. I don't want to be one of those where he says, oh, Grace, you've got little faith. But there are measures of faith. But the good news is we've all been given a measure of faith. Now it's up to us to grow it.
To grow that faith.
And yeah. How do we grow our faith? We feed on the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is released by doing, acting, and speaking. If what I said earlier about the enemy, he doesn't care what you know as long as you're quiet about it. But once you start speaking the word of God over your situation, over your life, now you have unleashed, you have opened up the door to the throne room of God, the power of God into your life by praying the word of God. And so not having your mouth closed, you can be in faith. And we should all hear the word of God. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing, and we should do that. I'm not saying anything bad about that, but it doesn't end there. Faith is released. Faith comes by the hearing part, but faith is released by the believing, doing, acting, speaking part.
Putting it into practice.
Yes. That's exactly right. So faith, if we can say it this way, there's two different ways I like thinking, and I've heard this before. Faith is the currency of heaven. So when we go to God with a prayer, the currency of heaven is our faith. That's all God. It's not us moving the mountain. God is the mountain mover. We are the ones speaking to the mountain. And we speak his word. We take his word. We believe his word. We speak it. We act it out. We become doers of the word. And God is pleased. This tells us we are to please God. In fact, it says very clearly in Hebrews that how do we please God? By faith.
By faith. Yeah.
And so when people say, well, you're making such a big deal out of faith. Well, God made it a big deal. He told us in his word, it is impossible to please God without faith. I don't know about you, but impossible is a pretty big word.
Right.
It's impossible to please him without faith.
And the father of our faith, Abraham, you know, I mean, the whole section in the Bible talking about him is righteousness through faith. It was Abraham's faith that please God. Amen. We were going to read Romans 4:17 next, or is it?
Okay. We were, but something I'm getting ahead of that is there is, when I said there's two ways I like to think of it. Yeah. One is the currency of heaven. The second one is a door or a pipeline. And there's a flow there. We want the flow of heaven in our lives. That's the power of God. The power of God is all of the promises he's done, all of the blessings he's given us. And by the way, he's done it all. It is completed. We think we're waiting on God, but he's really waiting on us to open that door. And how do we open that door? By faith, by doing our action, our faith in action. That's how we do it. And it's so important for us to have that flow of God in our life. And so many times we're limited. I don't know why, because I think we get out of our lane. Our lane is the believing part. We receive the word, we believe it, and then we act on it by faith. That's our part. The doing part is God's part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the power of God. You and I, we can pray for people. We're not healers.
Mm-mm.
Jesus is the healer. We can hook up our faith with him and agree that, you know, Jesus is going to heal him. But the power of the healing isn't us. It's coming straight from the throne room of God. Does that make sense what I'm saying? In other words, the power of God, his throne room, all the blessings of God are in heaven. He has done everything we need for life and godliness. It is done. But it's up to us to open the door, to allow that flow of God's power into our life.
Yeah, in the area of healing, when we pray for someone to be healed, we're just doing our part. We're speaking the word. What the word says about being healed, we say it, but God is the healer.
He is the healer.
And he's the one that heals.
And we know that he's already done it. Jesus is not going back to the whipping post to take another 39 lashes and to go to to be crucified again, to die for us. He has done it.
Mm-hmm.
It is completed. That's what I'm trying to get across, is that so many times when we say, we can think, oh, we're contending against God. No, we're not. No. God's already given us everything we need. It is done. It is us hooking up our faith with the word and opening that door, that channel to God, to allow the power of God in our life. And I don't know about you, but I need the power of God in my life.
Yeah, amen.
If we can, before we read Romans 4:17, I'd like us to go to Ephesians 2. And we're going to be reading here, starting in verse 4, from 4 to 6. The whole chapter's great. But let's do Ephesians 2, and let's start in verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a whole lot.
So we're sitting.
Wow.
In the heavenly with Christ.
Yes.
That's what we were talking about before we started recording, was about living the ascended life. And that sounds kind of like not even obtainable, but really it just means we live with the mindset that we're with Christ, sitting in heavenly places with Christ, and not down on the earth, you know, going through all the trials in the dirt with all that. No, we can be elevated with Christ.
That's good. Can you read that again? That was powerful.
But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ.
Oh my goodness. So this is so powerful. When we get a hold, when we talk about identity, oh my goodness, we didn't do our confession. We'll do it at the end.
Okay.
But this is what we talk about. We have and we are who God says we are. And right here in Ephesians 2 and 4, he's telling us he loved us even when we were dead and sinners, and even before we were born again, new creations in Christ. He loved us anyway. He still loved us. But what he's saying is once he gave us Jesus, he gave us, what does it say in 6?
And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That's it. So he gave us Jesus so we could be seated with him in heavenly places. Let's just think about that for a minute. That's a lot. And I think that scripture is so powerful that a lot of us just kind of gloss over it because we think, well, who are we to be seated with Jesus? Well, God just told us he gave us Jesus for this very reason. God wants us. This is not an opinion here. This is God saying, I gave my son for you so you could be seated in heavenly places. Now, when we think about that in the ascended life kind of phrase, I like that. And I don't think it sounds pompous because that's not us saying, oh, we're ascended people. No, this is God saying, I've given you my son so that you can be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. This is God saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we think about what that means, think about being seated with Jesus in heavenly places and looking down on this earth, looking down at your life. And we have said, and I know I've said it in the past, oh, I'm on a mountaintop. Oh, I'm in a valley. But you know, that's wrong. Because based on this scripture, that's wrong. Yes, we may have circumstances that are either mountaintop circumstances or valley circumstances. We may be going through crisis. We may have those challenging storms of life. We all have them. They come and they go, and we are to learn from them. But we are not to be in the midst of that chaos.
We don't have to ride that roller coaster.
Amen, brother. Why? Because we're seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're seated in heavenly places, looking at that circumstance, at that storm, but we are not traumatized by it. Why? Because we know what the word says.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we pray that there's no distance in the spirit, and really there's not. Even though Jesus is in heaven, and we're, you know, physically we're here in the spirit, we can operate in a way that we're just right next to him.
That's, and we should.
In the spirit.
And we're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's what God tells us we're supposed to do.
Right.
We're supposed to do that. And so when we think about that, not, you know, like Pastor Jesse said on Sunday, every storm that comes, James 1:2 says, consider it joy when that happens. Why? Because we're learning things. We're going through things to grow through things.
Oh, wait, let me write that down.
We go through things to grow through things. Because when you go through it, you grow through it. You come out on the other side with a set of muscles you didn't have before you went into that one. And so when you learn what is that? What is the lesson of that storm? You're coming out stronger and more powerful and equipped and skilled and ready for what is coming next. And again, this is not to declare curses on people. I'm just quoting the word here. The scripture says, Jesus said, in this life you will have trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. but be of good cheer. I have overcome them all.
Yes, amen.
And that's Jesus. And we just read that in Ephesians 2 and 6. We're seated in heavenly places with him. So if we're seated there, don't lose your place beside him in the midst of a storm. We're not denying the circumstances of the storm, but you don't have to be seated in the middle of that roller coaster ride. We are to be seated in heavenly places. And so all of this that we're talking about is saying the same thing, contending for your faith, holding fast, staying with the word of God over anything that comes against you. We contend for our faith. I want to end with Romans 4:17, which is a great scripture that really talks about, well, what does that look like or what does that mean? How do you do that? Romans 4:17 will tell us.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
That's amazing. That is such a good scripture. Faith calls. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. That's what Abraham did. That's what he did.
That's what God did.
He called Abraham father of many nations while Abraham was childless.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those of you that haven't seen His Only Son, I highly recommend it. Daryl and I went to see this at the movies. I think it's important to support our brothers and sisters in Christ who are putting out this kind of messages. It was well done, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really showed what he went through and what he had to do to contend for his faith.
It's really this, yeah. What we're talking
That's
about
what it is. Yeah.
Is that movie. Mm-hmm. That whole movie talks about this very subject. Right. And what I really like about it is the writer of this film at the end of this movie, actually the thread of Jesus was throughout the whole movie. And at the very end, he basically shared a series of scriptures that talked about Abraham's only son, when he had to take Isaac to be sacrificed, and Jesus being the only son of God. And that's why the whole title is His Only Son. And at the very end, he actually gives the invitation to salvation, which is awesome and amazing because it's an Old Testament movie, but it's done by a New Testament born-again believer who is sharing the message of Christ through that movie. Anyway, that's a movie recommendation, not to get off, but it really does speak to the very topic we're talking about.
Well, and I was also just going to say, maybe next time, we don't have time this time, we'll talk about why we went to see that movie. It wasn't necessary just to see that movie. Something else happened.
Oh my goodness!
After the movie that we'll talk about maybe next time.
Yeah, that's a whole other Daily Bread, and that was an adventure. Let me tell you, when you walk with God, it's not boring. It's an adventure. When you're doing it right, it's an adventure. There's adventures around every corner. And when you do it with the mindset of just like we talked about with the storm, not being concerned, oh, this storm is going to ruin the family, or this one's taking us out, and we're just going to, no. We are seated in heavenly places. And what is it that we're going to learn through this storm? What set of muscles are we coming out on the other side of this storm to help us help others? It's not about us. Everything that we go through, yes, we're going through it, but it's about the kingdom of God. How can we help others, the lost, the hurting, that are going through this very thing? So when we talk about contending for our faith, this Romans 4:17 nails it. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. What is that? The first two words there, faith calls. Faith calls. You have to call those things. Yeah. You have to speak. You have to open your mouth and declare the word of God. over your life. And they, because we walk by faith and not by sight, we are calling those things that be not as though they are. And many times in our life, that's what we're doing. We don't see it right now. But we need to line up our words and our prayer and our calling, our faith calling into being, what the Word of God says about that situation.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, Jesus went through a storm. You know, the account of where the disciples are in the boat and Jesus is in the back, he's asleep, and the boat's being tossed and the waves and the wind and all this. Jesus was not even concerned with physically what was happening because he was living in the heavenly realm.
That's exactly right.
And what is the first thing he said when they said, we're sitting here perishing? Didn't you care? He goes, where's your faith?
Right.
So that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's it.
Where's your faith?
And faith rests. Isn't that what Jesus was doing? He was resting.
Yeah.
He knew the storm wasn't riding the waves. He was sleeping in the middle of the storm.
Yeah.
There was a song a few years ago, and oh, it's one of my favorites to this day, and it's Teach Me How to Sleep in the Storm. Mm. And that's really what this concept is about, resting. Faith rests. Faith is not desperation, wringing of hands. In fact, that's worry. Mm-hmm. And worry closes the door to faith. There's no faith. There's no faith works by love. And when you're worried, that's like doubt. Worry and doubt had a baby, and they were really, its name is fear.
Fear.
Yeah. It comes from fear. So when you're wringing your hands or you're in desperation, that may be a lot of things, but it's not faith. So just, we need to be very careful on that. We did not get to Hebrews 4:3. I strongly recommend you go read that, preferably in the Amplified Version. We're going to sign off, but that's good homework. Go read Hebrews 4:3 and you will see that God, he's actually saying God's works have, I'll just read you the very end of that. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world, meaning he's already given us everything we needed. His answers, they're already up in heaven. They're up in heaven. And when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. He wants us to live that life of having heaven on earth.
Amen.
Answered Amen. Prayer. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We want to end tonight with our scripture for the month, which is Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. We could stop right there.
Yep.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Another version says that he cares for those who trust in him.
That's good. That's an amazing scripture for the month of April. Before we leave, because we didn't do it in the beginning, let's please end. Everyone grab your Bible and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I have what it says I have.
And I have what it says I can have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.